Along with announcements made, I want to welcome each of you here this morning. I'm encouraged to see this number out, ready to worship the Lord, ready to study a portion of His Word. If you have your Old Testament this morning, if you'll turn to the 85th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study, Psalm 85. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never been baptized into Christ for remission of sins, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here at the baptistry's field. We'd be glad to take your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38, and have you be added to the family of God. Or if you need to be restored to your first love, we'll be praying within our heart as we're singing that you would come forward and let your request be made known. In the 85th Psalm, if you would, look with me beginning at verse 4. Restore to us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in your land. At this time, you are reading what one might identify as a psalm of thanksgiving. The Jews had been led from captivity of Babylon back to their homeland. And as they've gone, they've begun to show God thanksgiving. And they make this prayer for a better future. But if you take your Bible and note it, verse 6, their request. When they pray out to the God of heaven, they said, "Will you not revive us again?" The Jews at this time were in a low state, and they were seeking a time when they could be revived or renewed. They were seeking a time where they had their passion stirred up for God again, and their relationship with God would be what they wanted to be. They desired that intimate relationship with God that had faded when they were in captivity. And they are asking God, and they're praying that God would revive that relationship. You know, our gospel meeting starts next Sunday. And you know, I begin to think when we talk about revival, if ever there was a day that we needed a revival, it's now in our day. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is talk about the revival we need. The first thing I want to put into your mind and in my mind as we make our study is that we need a revival in this nation we live. You know, there was a day and time when the people of this nation proclaimed that they were a nation that loved God. And I recognize that the nation has begun to drift from that pattern. But when you go back and look through history, you'll find that nation after nation has been buried as a failure of forgetting God in their proper place. If you take your Bible in the book of Isaiah and the first chapter, you'll find that's what happened to the nation of Judah. The nation of Judah began to forget God, and Isaiah prophesied to them in regard to that. In Isaiah chapter 1, if you'll note verses 3 and 4, notice what the prophet said to the people of that day. He said, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not consider, my people do not know." I want you to take note that at this time he said, "Israel does not know, my people do not consider." He said, an ox knows who its owner is, the donkey understands its master, but you have forgotten that I am your God. You have forgotten to give me the honor due me. You have forgotten that you are to be my people. Then in verse 4, he said, "Alas, sinful nation." He's talking about their ungratitude. He said, "A people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." Here was a nation that one time understood that God was good and that God was to deserve all the praise and glory. And at that time they were set apart as the nation of God. But they begin to backslide and they begin to become ungrateful towards God and they begin to become laden with iniquity. And what that nation needed was a revival, a renewal of their relationship with God. They needed to have their zeal revived. They needed to have their passion revived. They needed to have their relationship with God renewed. But then if you look in the New Testament, have you ever thought that every nation that left God is a nation that gradually began to decay and they began to become people separated from God and they became a nation that was buried? Look at the Roman power. When you read the Revelation letter, many times we get caught up in the symbolism of that letter. But when you read the Revelation letter, one thing you'll find is the nation of Rome had become so morally decadent and so morally bankrupt, and they had left God out, and they became a nation that persecuted the Christians, and they ended up being a nation that failed. You know, in our day, in this country of ours, what this nation needs is a revival. We need to be pointing our leaders and we need to be pointing all the people back to the God of heaven. If you take your Bible for a moment, look in the 9th Psalm. When you look in the 9th Psalm, notice with me, if you will, what is stated in verse 7. In Psalm 9 and about verse 7, notice the Scripture says that the Lord shall endure forever. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared His throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Have you ever thought that God is looking down on this nation? This nation of ours who one time proclaimed in God we trust, now trust the thing that is very printed on. They trust the money more than they do the God of heaven. So when you look at this nation, have you ever begun to see that it is a nation that needs to be revived? Have you ever looked and thought about what's happened to this nation? Have you ever thought about how God's name that used to be reverenced is now a byword? Have you ever just turned on the television set and you hear people take God's name in vain left and right? You never hear them proclaim how great and majestic that name is. But I'll tell you what, they use His name as a byword. And can I tell you something? When we say God's name, we better say it with reverence. I'll never forget one time when I was preaching at a place, my youngest son was in the building. And this lady just came off and just said, "Oh my," and she took God's name in a very vain way. And he looked up and he said, "We don't take God's name that way." You know what? That's exactly right. We ought to be people that recognize God's name needs to be reverenced. It is a holy name. And may I say with all kindness and all candor, what we need to do in this nation is begin to point people back to the holiness of God. But not only has God's name become used as a byword, if you notice in our nation, prayer is a mere formality. And what is needed is a revival in this nation to understand what prayer is. Prayer is petitioning the God of heaven. When I pour my heart out to the God of heaven, it's not just a mere formality. Sometimes the only time you'll ever hear anyone pray is in a crisis. But I want you to think about what this nation needs is individuals praying for it. Brother Farrell just a moment ago led us in prayer. What did he pray for? He prayed for He prayed for the leaders of this nation. And have you ever stopped to think about this nation needs God's petition? We need to be petitioning God for this nation. But then if you take your Bible, have you ever stopped to think about how corrupt the lives are in our government? Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs in the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Proverbs in the 14th chapter, notice, if you will, what is stated in verse 13. In Proverbs 14, he talked about even in laughter the heart may be sorrowful and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Look at that, the backslider. What's he going to be filled with? His own ways. Have you ever noticed that many times people, when they become powerful, and it doesn't matter your political alliance, I'm talking about people, when they get powerful, what often happens, they become filled with their way. You ever notice some people can start off with good intentions, but once they get a taste of power, they get a taste of authority, they oftentimes leave what is right and good because they don't want to lose that position of power. I've seen individuals that start off and it seems like they want to do the right thing. It seems like they have in mind, they want to fulfill God's will. They want to be people that point people back to God. But then they get a little taste of power and they become filled with their own way. And they leave what is the right way. You know what this nation needs? This nation needs a revival. But I want to tell you a second thing. Not only does this nation need a revival, the home needs a revival. Just as the nation has departed from God's pattern, so has the home. And you know, sometimes I'm fearful that in our day and time, marriage has become a mockery. Now, I want to state this, and I want to state it so people understand. I have a lot of sympathy for people who do the best they can to keep their marriage together. Many times I recognize that there can be someone who strives to keep a marriage together and the other individual will not keep it together, and thus divorce happens. And I have sympathy for that. But at the same time, what I'm fearful of is that many do not take their covenant, their vow, seriously. When you enter into a covenant, you enter into a vow. You can't control what the other person does, but I will tell you one thing, you can control what you do. And you know, my friend, in this day and time, what's needed in the home life is a revival, a renewal. Have you ever stopped and think about the reason you married that individual in the first place? You know what happens sometimes I've noticed in marriage? Is many times we start thinking about how the other person's not living up to what we want and what we need. And you know what happens? We become selfish. And we start saying, you know, they don't do this for me, they don't do that for me. And we never stop and ask the other question, what have I done to help them out? You want to know why a lot of marriages fall and falter in this country? We've become selfish. Or the other person's become selfish. You know, sometimes I've noticed what'll happen. You've been married for a while and one night you wake up and you look over at them and they don't have their makeup on. And their hair's messed up, and they're asleep, and they're snoring, and drool's coming out of their mouth. And you look at them, and you think, what in the world was I thinking when I said I do? But what you don't realize is the night before when you were sleeping, they looked at you, and they heard you snore, and they saw your drool, and they thought, what in the world was I thinking? And you know what happens many times? We start taking for granted a person we made a covenant to. Why in the first place would you tell somebody and vow that you would spend the rest of your life with them unless you had love for them? And you know what's needed in this day and time? A revival in the home. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Ephesians letter in the 5th chapter. And I know many times you read Ephesians 5, people get upset, but I tell you, I believe it's God's pattern. In Ephesians 5, look, if you will, beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now that's God's pattern. Now I want to understand two things here. Many times in our day, you preach verse 22, people get mad. But I want to say two things about that. First of all, wives, before you ever say I do, women, before you ever say I do, you be sure that you're going to be able to submit to the man you're about to marry. But I want you to notice two things about submission. First, it's voluntary. Sometimes some men get in their mind, it's their job to make a woman submit. No, sir. No, sir. I've seen some men say, I rule my house, and they think they've got a dictatorial fist. That's not the Bible pattern. Submission is voluntary. That is the role of the woman. It's not the role of the man to make her submit. What's the role of the man? To love her as Christ loved the church. I've had men come up to me and say, my wife won't do what I told her to do. And I said, okay, we'll work on that, but I want to ask you something. Are you doing what God told you to do? Because if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, she's not going to have a whole lot of problems submitting to you. But submission does not mean you get your way in everything. I want you to think about submission is the wife humbly submitting to her husband as God has told her. But the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. If you ever thought what a beautiful picture that is, that's not inferiority. That's not saying the husband's up here and the wife's down here. You know what that's saying? That's saying that if you have two heads, you have a monster. In the church, Christ is the head. What's the church? The body. So Christ tells the church, and we submit. But if you have Christ here, and you have the church here, and you have two heads, what do you have? You've got problems. So here he says in the home life, the husband is to be the spiritual leader. He's to love his wife. He's to treat her with kindness. He's to dwell with her, as Peter said, according to understanding. She is to subject herself. You ever notice that's been a problem with man and woman from the very beginning? God has given us roles, and they're not because of inferiority or superiority. They're the roles God has given man and woman so we could have the home life as He intended. And what's happened is nobody wants to do what God told them to do, and you know what happened? The home has crumbled. And what I ask people is, are you doing what God told you to do? If your home life is in disarray and you're having problems, I tell you what you quit doing. Quit looking at the other person saying, if they changed, my home would be fine. You look at yourself and say, what do I need to change? So many times it's easy to point out the faults of the other person. And I'll tell you what's needed in the home, a revival. Open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Look at children. Children need to understand their position. Not only does the husband and wife, children need to understand that they are to honor their father and mother. You know, when I was growing up, my parents told me what to do. I don't see that a lot anymore. I see a lot of children telling their parents what to do. I've had people tell me at places I've preached before, we would go where you all are, but our children don't want to go there. And I thought to myself, I never got to tell mom and daddy where we were going to worship. Back to business, when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. Do you know that? I got drugs Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to church kicking sometimes. Because I thought I wanted to go play ball, and they said, no, we're going to go worship. I didn't tell Mama and Daddy where we were going. They told me. Have you ever stopped to think what's needed in the home life is for parents to be parents? Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell your children no, but you know, sometimes they need to learn what no means. But then I want you to tell you, not only does the home need a revival, but I want you to think churches need a revival. Local churches of Christ need to be revived. We need to be renewed. We need to get back to our zeal and our passion. First, we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to allowing Christ tell us what to do and have authority for all that we do. In this day and age where you have all the entertainment craze and you have people misunderstanding that the work of the church is spiritual, we need to get back to seeing we are here for a spiritual purpose. Sometimes we talk about fellowship hall. Do you recognize at Eastside we have a fellowship hall? We're in it. We're enjoying spiritual fellowship right now. You may say, I'm not enjoying your sermon. Well, that's fine. We're in fellowship together. I'm not enjoying it too much myself. But we share in Christ together. Have you ever thought what a joy it is to have the spiritual bond? And you know, we need to get back in our worship. We need to be revived. Sometimes we can talk about not singing with the instrument. And we say, we don't have instrumental music. Good, but I want to know, do we sing from the heart? Oh, in John 4:24, what did Jesus say? He said, they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. What does worship mean to you? Do you just get bored in worship? You sit there and say, I can't wait till it's over. Then I'll tell you what we've done. We allow the flesh to influence the spiritual side of us.
And when you think through spiritual eyes and you think about what God has done and we think about the greatness of God, then we'll worship with the right attitude. And it won't be boresome. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And when we worship, we need to understand why we worship. In 1 Corinthians 14, what does he say in verse 15? He said, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with understanding. I need to know why I do what I do and I need to know why I say what I say. I need to sing and pray with understanding and the right attitude. We need to be revived. You know, I've been some places and I've held meetings with just a small congregation. And I'll never forget one little place I was at. There was a fellow. And he, about like me, he couldn't carry a tune in the bucket. And he stood behind me, and I'll tell you what he did, though. He sang with all his heart. Unashamedly. And I heard someone kind of laugh at him, but I thought to myself, but you know what he's doing? He's letting God know his heart. He was praising God. Sometimes we allow pride to get in our way of our worship. And what we need to do is be renewed and revived in our worship. And we need to be renewed and revived in coming before God with a godly life. You know what is sad today is that there is no longer a distinction between the world and members of the church. We're to be a separate people. We need to be revived in our life for God. One last thing. The revival we need is a revival for the sinner. People need to be revived from their sins and saved from their sins. And they can only do that by knowing about God. They need to be told about their sins. And they need to be told what they can do about their sins through the grace of God and obedience to His word. There are people out there in Sheville that need God. They need to be revived. And you know something? I need to be revived. And if you're honest, have you ever become stale in your worship? Could you need to be revived? And what could be a better time for a revival than that? And you know where it starts? With you. You don't need to wait for everybody else. Sometimes we talk a good game about what we're going to do when we get this settled and we get that set. But I'll tell you where revival starts. One person. Because I'll tell you what you see with people. Their passion for God is contagious. There's some people I love being around because they love God. And they're better to be. I'm better for being around them because they encourage me. There's some people I don't like to be around because all they do is drain you. They're what I call emotional vampires. And they never talk about God. All they talk about is how bad things are. And I realize we go through trials and troubles. But you know something? How I start getting things right is be renewed with my passion for God. What is needed is a revival. Eastside, we need a revival. We got a meeting coming up. But you know what? We can make that meeting. We can make it a revival. And wouldn't it be something if all of us came through the week and we listened and we learned about the Holy Spirit as Brother Moody teaches us? And wouldn't it be something that we left knowing more and understanding more about the God we say we believe in and the God we say we serve? And then we're able to take that out and teach others and other people enjoy the same blessings we have? Wouldn't it be something that if by the end of the year we had more people coming and they're wanting to know more about God, and we're actually excited about knowing about God, and wouldn't it be something that our singing improved because all of a sudden we love God more and our passion for God is greater, our zeal is greater because we begin to recognize how great our God is, how awesome He is on high, and how wonderful it is to be called His children. And that excitement begins to spread. And all of a sudden, people in this community say, there's something about that group out at Eastside. They seem excited about religion. What's wrong with those people? Let's go find out. Wouldn't it be something if in Shelville, Tennessee, a revival started right here? It can, if it starts with you. It starts with you. If you're here this morning, you need to go with the gospel. We pray you come this morning as together we stand and sing. We invite you.